morning, Matthew chapter 15. I love this portion of scripture. I don't know, maybe because I like to eat, but I love this scripture. I love it. These people have nothing, and nothing at all. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, "What do you got? What do you got?" And a lot of times in our lives, God says, "What do you got? What do you have? How can I help you with what you have?" I'm glad God does that to us. Amen. And his disciple says, "Once would we feed all these?" How do we do that? Nobody's eaten. Look at me now. There are over 4,000 people here, and they haven't ate for 3 days. And there's no McDonald's or Burger King or Olive Garden or Red Lobster. Are you hungry yet? and the Lord says, "Hey, what do you got?" And they really question the Lord. "What do you mean, what do we got? We're out in the wilderness. And there's no place to eat." But the Lord takes care of it. I want to speak to you today. I want to preach today on the subject, what do you do in emergencies? I know some of you have had some difficulties the last couple of weeks about work and about knowing what you're going to do. And our government certainly gave a few people hiccups. Well, no, I shouldn't say our government is giving us a bunch of hiccups. And I didn't know that we're to pray, "Our government, give us this day our daily bread." I thought it was "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Oh, I'm glad some of you know that one. It's in the book. It must have been in something because you remembered it. Somebody taught you something. "Give us this day our..." Whoa, stop there. D-A-I-L-Y. Daily bread. Our daily bread. Sometimes we get pretty jumpy. I'm saying we. Sometimes we get really jumpy about certain things. And I believe that if you listen to me carefully, I can give you some information from the Word of God. By the way, that's why you come to church. That's why you're here. So I can preach the Word of God to you. So we can perfect the saints. That's what the Bible says. Perfecting the saints. Some people don't get very perfected very often. They need to be in church. You need to be faithful in your local church. If you haven't found one yet, I hope you join this one. This is Old Country Church. Every service, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service, Wednesday night, and our evangelistic meetings and blah, on and on and on. That's for the perfecting of the saints. You cannot do that. That takes a church. That takes your pastor to perfect the saints. You can't do it at home. You can't watch it on TV. You can't get it. The next time your family gets sick, call that TV pastor and ask him to come visit you. I remember when Jerry Falwell was so big. I used to have people, I would see them coming in with those great big gigantic Bibles. I knew they gave at least $1,000 to his TV show. And they'd stay home and watch Jerry instead of come to church. I don't care if it's Jerry, Jimmy, Dickie, or whatever. You're not going to get what you get in a local church. That's why God put in the Bible, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling. Assembling, the ecclesia, the called out assembly of baptized believers. You cannot get it at home. And I don't care how much you got and how brilliant you are, you cannot get what you can get in Sunday school at your church. You cannot get what you get in church services at this church at home. Sorry. Wrong number. You say, "Why are you saying that?" Because I know that you need to be faithful to your local church. Please be faithful. Get in the book. But when you get in the book, God will feed you. But when you come to your church, it's for the perfecting of the saints. I know some of you guys and some of you gals work. I understand that. I have no question about that. But bless God, you're staying home watching Bonanza. There's something wrong. But anyway, or a football game. Or, all right, that won't cost you 25 cents when I leave today. Amen. So what are you doing? I'm perfecting the saints. If you didn't feel your toes stamped on, we'll put it out there so I can get it good. Amen. By the way, Rob and your wonderful wife and children and your mother, we're going to miss you. They're leaving next Sunday. Is your last Sunday. Is that correct? Oh, your last Sunday. Oh, well, God bless you. You're not. I didn't think you were leaving until about November, right? Okay. All right. Well, Ms. Barron, I'm glad you came. God bless you. Amen. So, anyway, take what I said. If you don't like it, talk to my boss. All right. Matthew chapter 15, verse 34. And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? I'm going to ask you today, how many loaves have you? How many loaves have you today? Well, Pastor, if you're like in my home, with only two of us, it gets moldy real quick. So, no loaves. All right. When you're confronted in an emergency, which at first looks like, it seems outrageous. What do you mean I don't have a job? You didn't say that, right? It's menacing. It's monstrous. It's shocking. It's outlandish. It's inconceivable. It's impossible. I work hard. What do you mean I don't have a job? It's inconvenient. It's impossible. It's improbable. It's unthinkable. And unlikely to be, we think, at that moment, when it's overcome. Many go into despair and depression. Some people even go as far as take their life. Scripture teaches us that we are to live by faith. This is part of the human development or the human progress of life. Faith. Now, if you think I'm preaching to you this morning, I am. My son is he's a vice president of Irwin Penland advertising agency out of Greenville, South Carolina. And I was sitting there one day, and I went to his office, and we were sitting there talking, and he said, Dad, he said, I want you to watch this. And it was a commercial. He said, you get it? He said, I said, no, I didn't get it. He said, it wasn't for you. And then he played something else. He said, get that? Yeah, yeah. He said, that one's for you. They want you to buy something. That other one? You had nothing to do with it. He said, that is part of advertising agency. And advertising philosophy and psychology and all this. And boy, you can't imagine what they put into it. If you saw the Super Bowl, all the Verizon ads, those were his. So you can just figure out he does know a little bit about what's going on in life. But if you don't get what I'm preaching today, you don't need it. I think we all need it, though. I think every one of us needs to know that there's coming a time in our life there's going to be an emergency. Everybody has an emergency. When the doctor says you have cancer, that's an emergency. When the doctor says you have Crohn's disease, that's an emergency. When the doctor says you're having a little hard time with your blood pressure, that is an emergency. The doctor says, I don't understand, your heart does not sound just exact, that is an emergency. Hey, man, wouldn't you agree with that? How many have ever been going down the road and all of a sudden somebody hits you? That's an emergency. When the doctor says there's something wrong with your baby and you're carrying that baby, that's an emergency. These things happen to us in our life. It happens even to our children at school, our teenagers. There's great emergencies in their life. They are bombarded with this thing we call adolescence that is incredible. And some of us who have grown through that, we've kind of forgot some of those things. And you come to my office and you say, I don't know what's wrong with my kid. I'm going to start asking you questions about what you did when you were growing up. And then I'm going to say, didn't you have that problem? Well, yeah, but this is my, no, same thing. So all of us go through emergencies. It is a test of life. God allows these things. Number one, you ought to understand that God understands what you're going through. Do you understand that? There's nobody understands what I'm going through, but God understands what I'm going through. Don't you tell me, I know what you're going through. No, you don't. And I'll be very honest with you. I cannot say to you, I know what you're going through. Now, I can have sympathy for you, and you can have sympathy for me. And I go through some things that I've been through, and like Brother Rudy and I, we have empathy because both of us take care of our wives, and some of the other people take care of your family members, and you understand how that is. So we have empathy. But for me to tell you that I know what you're going through in your life, that doesn't work. I certainly sympathize with you, and I certainly have empathy, and I love you, and I pray that God helps you through this thing. I pray most of all that you will, by faith, trust the Lord Jesus Christ and know that He knows exactly what He's doing and allowing in your life to build you up, to make you stronger. When I went away to Bible college, I went there for one reason, that's to play football. And when I got there, this coach was very, very intense. Did you know coaches are intense? This guy's, he calls Sidney Hogs, he calls pansies, he yell and scream, spit in your face. I'm just, Some of you probably met some of those guys, and your drill instructor, your, well, they don't call them drill instructors, they call them what, the Air Force?
TI.
TI? Yeah. And they weren't your favorite person for a while. Until you turned into one of them. But they were saving your life. They were getting to get break you down, to get you to build you up to the point in their life that you would do what you were told without a question. And things happen in our lives that God is using us, and sometimes we feel God is a drill instructor to us and allowing things to be put to us. To do what? To temper us. To make us better. To the next thing that happens, we can look back at the thing that just happened and say, well, I got through that one, so I guess I can get through this one. I'm glad I pastored I was assistant pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church of Wells, Minnesota before I became a pastor. Because my father-in-law took a lot of junk that I did, and he had to kind of clean it up, you know what I mean? One day he said, now, son, I want you to go over to Mankato, Minnesota, to the hospital. So-and-so is there, and he's having a hard time. Would you go just go over there and read the Bible and pray with him? And I thought, hey, my father already reads out of Psalm. I'll read out of Psalms. And so when I got there, I had no foggy. I was 22 years old. I had no foggy what I was doing. I'm not kidding. I had no foggy what I was doing. I opened up the Psalms, didn't realize that I was reading a precatory psalm. Precatory means that God is going to kill them and give them the scourge of the earth and all that. So I said, hey, brother, how are you? He said, and I didn't know that this guy was causing my father-in-law some problems at our church. I didn't know that. Man, I'm dumber than dumb, man. So I read this dissertation of the Psalms and how that God was going to slay them and how that, I mean, oh boy, it was good. I got home, and the more I got home, my father-in-law called me, and that was before cell phones because he would have called me right there. He said, what did you read to him? I said, I don't even remember what psalm it was. He said, was it Psalm so-and-so? I said, well, yeah, I think it was. He said, you ought to read that again. I said, well, what's wrong with that? Bible's Bible, right? It's inspired word of God. They left the church. Yeah, thank you very much. Folks, don't chase people out of the church. I do a good enough job myself. Amen. I used to say, hey, you don't like what I'm preaching? We need the room. Get out. Somebody else come in. I don't do that anymore. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Trying to help you there, little brother. Oh, my. But there are some things that are going to come in your life that will teach you some things, hopefully. I really read my Bible real closely now when I go to the hospital. Now I got Chaplain Racy there. He'll kick me out of his hospital now. Amen. But anyway. Well, things come to our life. They're impossible. It seems like that we just don't know which way we're going to go because it becomes really an emergency. For the most part, it literally takes us out of the measure of our ability. It causes us shock because we know that, humanly speaking, we can't do anything about it. The other day when Chad and Marshall were heading back to Belt going home, and that car did a U-turn right in the middle, a legal U-turn right in the middle of the highway. He's going 70 miles an hour, and there's no way that he could change his direction except a little bit, and he saved the young man's life. Now, all different things happen to him. That was an emergency. When I get the call from Walker, and Walker said, Papa, we've been in a terrible accident. Could you please come out here? We're 4 miles out of Great Falls. I said, what? And then I realized it was an emergency. When the doctor tells your husband he's having some heart problems, that's an emergency. What can you do about it? That's where we get to the point where we come to faith. And we say, dear God, I don't understand this. And I'm gonna be like Job. I'm not gonna charge God foolishly. I'm gonna say, dear God, I know that you have a perfect plan in my life. And I'm gonna trust in this thing. In my prayer that I try to pray almost every day, one of the prayers I pray, dear God, I don't understand what I'm going through here. And you know I've trusted you in this. I'm gonna keep trusting this thing. I was sitting right out here 2 years ago on June 6th with a preacher friend of mine and a song leader and their daughter, and we're going fishing. I got a call from my son and said, Dad, I don't know what's going on, but they just took him out to the emergency room. That was an emergency. But I got to the hospital. The ER doctor said to me, he said, your wife, now you got to remember, I'm a former EMS. And when that doctor says, you have a very, very, very sick wife. What he's trying to tell me, your wife is not making it. That's an emergency. What can I do about it? What can I do about it today? If we trust in the Lord, that's all you can do. I look over there and she's not there anymore. I look in the nursery, she's not there anymore. I stand at the door and she sits with people right beside me. She's the one that used to remember your names. She's the one that used to encourage me. She's the one that used to say, hey, maybe you might take a look into this thing. That's a real emergency. And I will tell you that each one of you have some emergency. And if you haven't, you will. Because you ain't living. Noah Webster said, and if you can get this, I would write this down. Noah Webster, 1826 American Dictionary. If you can get one, they're about this thick. And the words, he illustrates it with the Word of God. Noah Webster was a godly man. And he wrote the dictionary. A wonderful man. But if you can get an 1826, and they're around, I think they're like 25, 30 bucks, I'd get one for your home. But anyway, he said, this is an emergency. That which comes suddenly, a sudden occasion, an unexpected event. any event or occasion, combination of circumstances which call for immediate action or remedy, pressing necessity. Emergency. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when somebody tells you you're done? You don't have a job. How many have ever been fired? Be honest with me. Yeah. How many ever had somebody give you a slip and say, hey, don't come in tomorrow? How many ever had that done to you? Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? What do you mean, don't come in tomorrow? I was working construction. I was in high school. And I got a call and said, hey, Sheldon, don't come in tomorrow. No explanation, nothing. Just don't come in tomorrow. And I want to say, what do you mean don't come in tomorrow? Well, it's okay for a high school kid to get that. But you get a man that's married and got a bunch of kids and got a lot of responsibilities and been living check to check to check. That's kind of like, oh, boy. And then you got to go tell your wife. By the way, honey, you remember that? We got some. Well, I want to give you some things. What, number one, I've got about 10 minutes here. Number one, don't stay home from church. Did you hear me? How many heard me? Don't stay home from church. Did you hear me? Hey, listen to me. Don't stay home from church. I'm perfecting the saints right now. Don't stay home from church. When a funeral happens and your loved one dies, don't stay home from church. You need this church. You need your pastor. Good night. I was, my mother died. And I went home for the funeral. And Sunday night, they had put the viewing of my mother on Sunday night. By the way, she would have turned in her grave if that ever happened. She was a godly woman. If the door at the church squeaked, she was walking in squeaking it, amen. Never missed the service. But they said over Sunday night. And one of my sisters said to me, you're going to the viewing tonight, aren't you? I said, when I get done with church. And she pitched a fuss right there. Now, I understand because of her, what she was going through. And I understand, hey, I didn't take, I love them. This is the way. And she says, what? I said, I have preached all these years, you be faithful to church. I have preached that it's important you go to church to get something so that it'll make you get through another day. And I said, I will not miss church. And she went, well, all them people there want to see you. I said, they can see me when I come. Hey, man. That little lady right there, when Brother Gibbon passed away, she was in church. Amen. I'm so proud of her. That's the way it's supposed to be. You don't stay out of church. So that Sunday night, I was getting ready for church, and all of a sudden my nephew comes up and said, hey, Uncle Sheldon, can we ride to church with you? I said, yeah. All of a sudden, guess who took all the kids with him? I know I broke the law with all those kids in my car, but brother, I'll tell you what, I had them all in there. And we went to church. The pastor got up and preached one of the most amazing sermons on heaven. Talk mama. Preached one of the most amazing sermons on heaven. And after the service, he grabbed me by the hand because all the other sisters should have been in church. He said, Sheldon, I knew I could count on you, and that's why study this sermon just for you. Look what I've missed out on. Don't miss church. Don't miss church. It's not God's fault that you don't have a job. God is the one that gave you a job in the first place. God is the one who gives you air to breathe and water to drink and food to eat in the first place. Don't curse God. Don't be ignorant. Go to church. Secondly, make an inventory of your my resources and the ability I have or possess. Biblical reaction. Matthew chapter 6, 15, verse 23. And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, seven and a little fishes. Okay, emergency comes. Boom, it is not the end. Don't take the 357, blow your head off, and make it a terrible, terrible thing for your whole family. Now you really got trouble. Say, well, I've got through this before. I can get through this thing again. Pull your resources. See what's going on. Hey, I got seven moles and a couple fishes here. I guess we can live another day. This is always Jesus' question when a mercenary confronts. How many loaves have you? What do you got? Have you not a little knowledge? Have you not a little energy? Have you not a little one? Have you not a little opportunity that God gives you when that emergency comes? Say, you know what? I can make it here. I was looking at a job, thought I was going to lose this job. And I thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I can drive truck. I can get a job driving truck. And then I started the other things that I used to do, and I thought, well, I can get a job doing that, I can get a job doing that, and I can do a job doing that when I was younger. All right? This is what I can do. Number two, number three, remember the past. Listen to me. Are you listening to me now? Remember the past. Make an inventory of things I have. Number two. Number one, don't forget church. Number two, make an inventory of things. Number three, don't forget the past. Remember what the Lord had already done for you. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. That's good preaching. Amen, brother Shear. Hallelujah. Or hallelujah, as my friend said down in South Carolina. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy that you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly. And you will keep singing as the days go by. Some of you, a couple of weeks ago, thought, hey, this is it. Was it it? Well, happy day, they gave you the back money. Happy day, they got you back at work. Happy day. Now, what if that happens again? Number three. Number three, remember what God's done for you. Oh, I got some more song here. When you look at others with their land and gold, think that Christ has promised you their wealth untold. Count your many blessings. Wealth can never buy. You get that? Wealth can't buy your family. Wealth can't buy your peace. I see people going crazy to have money. That'll make them happy. Some of you people are so busy you won't even take care of your own kid. You're working so many hours. And you're not even enjoying raising your children. One of these days they're going to be gone. And I'll tell you what, your wealth is gone too. Spend time with your children. Raise them up. Shut those stinking iPads and iPhones and Blackberries and Blueberries and whatever you got and Cockleberries. Shut them things off. Sit down at the table and eat a dinner with each other. Now let me tell you something for you families. Supper time is a wonderful time because the kids come home and they blab everything they've been doing. Just sit there and be quiet. They'll just give it to you. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened. God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. This is not my home. This is not my world. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm just passing through this world. I'm getting knocked around. I'm getting beat up. I'm getting laughed at. I'm getting poked at. But big deal, this is not my home. My home is heaven. We're just getting through it. You say, but preacher, this is tough. That's why you want to go to heaven. Because once you get there, it's over. For a million and quadrillion years, you are going to be basking in the Son of God. He said, but I just don't feel well. And my doctor said this. Well, glory to God. I'll tell you what I told the doctor when he said my wife was dead. I said, hey, thank God for heaven. I loved it when old Dr. John Rice was in an elevator and he was coming down. A guy stuck an old cold piece of metal in his back. And that old gun, he said, man, that's a big gun. And the guy said, give me your money, I'll send you, I'll kill you. He said, you, brother, you can't scare me with heaven. Before they got down, he'd led that man to the Lord. If this world was so beautiful as people say it is, nobody would want to go to heaven. Number four. Enter in a special partnership with Jesus. Don't forget church. That's number one. What's the second one? Make an inventory of things you have. Number three. Huh? Remember the past. And number four. Enter into partnership with Jesus. Now, I don't know what time it is, but stick with me just for a couple minutes. Those disciples had seven loaves. They could have broke a loaf, and there'd been 14. They all could have had a nibble on the tail of that fish, and they'd had something to eat. But Jesus says, what do you got? Well, we got seven loaves and a couple of fishes. And Jesus says, give them to me. Try that with a kid. I do it all the time in our church. I'll see them got a candy or something. Hey, give me that. And for most of them, they're humans. And they say, no. But I've got a couple of kids, and there was one of them used to do it when she was a little one. I said, give me that candy. She just handed it to me. I said, no, I'm just kidding you. I just want to know where they're at. And for the most part, your kids are pretty greedy. Maybe they're taking after their mom and daddy, huh? Jesus said, what do you got? Well, we have to send them all to give them to me. And when he gave them to him, the Bible said he told them to sit down, and he prayed, and they fed, and they picked up seven basket loads of fragments of fish. Seven basket loads. And the Bible said they were filled. I'm going to tell you something. When you enter into a special relationship and partnership with the Lord Jesus Christ, even though your emergencies often force you into dependence and a closer walk to Jesus Christ, it may be that it's good that you did have an emergency, because it shows the power of God and shows how much He loves you. Does He love you? It is our responsibility to confront our emergency head on, as the disciples did. Lord, all we have. When you take your burden to the Lord, you leave it with Him, and He will, without a doubt, care for you. He will care for you. You may be not eating chicken. You may have to eat a little bit of feathers. And you may not be eating the filet mignon and the lobster. You may have to go down and get a hamburger. No problem with that, is there?
You may not be able to buy that brand new car or that new motorcycle, that brand new four-wheeler, that brand new snowmobile that you really need.
You may have to keep driving that old jalopy that you have.
And you may, instead of having a $450 or a $700 car payment or a pickup payment, you may have to put a brand new starter in for $500 or a new fuel pump for $600, but you can still drive around. Do you know what I'm trying to tell you? There may be things that you really don't need.
But I've found that when you give yourself to God and you believe the Word of God, the Bible promises you over in Psalm 37, He'll give you the desires of your heart. There are some things in my garage that should not be there, but God knows my desire in my heart. And I just trust Him. Be not dismayed whatever betide. God will take care of you. Be it His wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Though days of toil, when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce, your path assail, God will take care of you. All you may need, He will provide. Need will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breath. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day, over all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. Now listen, you master that emergency, and your emergencies will not master you.
Dear God, I don't know what I'm going to do here. I know You're in charge. And I'm going to trust You. And dear God, I'm going to leave my burdens with You. You are my Heavenly Father. You told me I could call You Abba Father. You told me, Lord, that there's no one else I can go to but You. And You told me the Scripture that I can come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in time of need. And oh God, I'm in need. I know You know that. I just want to bring it to the throne again. I'm alone. I don't have any money. I got bills.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Father, I pray You'd help us today. Life seems pretty ugly sometimes. Life seems like we just get through one thing, we're in another one. Lord, it just seems like that go here and go there. It's so mind-boggling. Our mind feels like a bumblebee nest that somebody just rocked. We can't think straight. We can't. Oh, God. I don't know what to do. This is where You tell us to come to You. And You will plead our case. You will pray for us. You will make intercession for us. Dear God, help us to be more like You. And Lord, I pray You'd help today. If there's anyone here today that's going through these struggles of life, and just seems like it just, they don't know which way to turn. We know. And we've been taught. And we've been prepared for these days, but we just don't know how to take them. Help us, Lord, today. And Lord, maybe there's some here today that don't even have the faith in You, have not trusted You. I pray today that this day would be their day of salvation. and they'd give their heart to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you a couple questions. Listen to me very carefully. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven." And I'd sure like to know that today. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, if I were to die today, I'm not sure. I've got a doubt." My friend, there's a God in heaven that loves you so much. And that He'll forgive your sins and He'll come into your heart. And He will live there forever if you just trust in Him. And then there's you who are going through some trials probably even right now. Don't wait for the car. May I encourage you to turn to Jesus. He is supposed to be the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one that we can go to when the troubles come and the emergency's there. And we can say, "Lord, I don't understand this stuff. You know, my husband's been faithful. I've been faithful. We faithfully read our Bible and pray every day. And Lord God, we're trying our best to do our best. We're faithful to church. We're faithful to our giving. Lord, I've looked at all these things in my heart and my life, and the stillness is coming. I just don't understand it." Would you just trust Him? Only trust Him. Trust Him. The altar's open here. If you're here today and God's speaking to your heart, I'm going to ask you to come and kneel at the altar here and say, "Dear God, here's my burden, and I need your help." Let's all stand. Everyone's standing. You come. If you're here today and say, "Preacher, there's some things in my heart that I can get God speaking to my heart," you come right now. Come on. Good night. Bring it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus. "Lord, here it is. I don't understand it." You're here today and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to go there someday." Won't you come right now? Let me show you from the Word of God how you know for sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. I'm not here to make a Baptist out of here. I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven that loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross of Calvary and take that shame and take that beating for you because you are a sinner. He didn't sin. He was an innocent party here. You're the sinner. Will you ask Him to forgive your sins? And ask Him to come in your heart. Why don't you come right now? You're here today and say, "Preacher, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not followed the Lord in believer's baptism." You come now. That's down in the water and up out of the water. That's by immersion. Showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. It doesn't save you, but it tells people out there watching you that you got saved. You're here today and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come at this time? Why don't you come?" "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Hey, come on. Don't go one more day without this. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I've got some emergencies going on in my heart and my life. I don't know which way to turn." If you're not having emergencies, you ain't real. There's things all the time, every day going on. Man, bang, hitting us. It seems like we're in a fight. We're just sitting in there and somebody's just pounding us. Hey, you know what? Jesus said, hey, what you got, buddy? Well, I got seven little pieces of bread and a couple of fishes. God said, hey, let me show you what I can do with that. Let me show you what I can do with that. I'm going to get you through this thing. I'm going to show, because I don't want you to say that your God is not a providing God. I want to show you that I can do it. Hallelujah. He will. I don't know about you, when I heard them guys went back to work, I think I'm more happy than they were. I just thought, they're right there. God proved himself to that family. But then in my mind, I'm thinking, well, he proved himself, then maybe he's just trying to get them ready for something else. Because that happens in our life, doesn't it? If you're an old-timer, you understand that there are troubles and heartaches. David wrote about the troubles and sorrows of life. I heard an old preacher preach on it. He says, I live on the corner of trouble and sorrow. Every time I get by a trouble, I just run into a trouble. And I run into a sorrow. That just makes us want to go to heaven. That's just getting us ready to go. I hope you're ready to go to heaven. Well, I am. You may be seated. We have a baptism. This little girl said to me, Preacher, I want to get baptized. She cried. My 15-year-old daughter, girl. And she said, I've been scared, but I'm going to do it now. So you pray that God gives her courage today to overcome that. Amen? Amen. I'm glad you're here today. I know you have to leave. Your roast is burning in the oven. I can understand that. But if you'd like to stay and watch a beautiful, beautiful illustration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're about to see it. Amen. The Bible talks about baptism. It does not save you. Thanks for coming, folks. God bless you. It does not save you. But it shows what you've done in your heart. Peter preached, and 3,000 saved. And we're baptized. Immediately. Didn't wait a few weeks. Didn't wait for confirmation, consultation. They just got baptized. Said, wow, I wonder if they really do what they're doing. Maybe some of them didn't. But they did do what the preacher told them to do. That's a really good idea to start doing. Most preachers are not out there to hurt you. They're to help you. And they're to get you going. Yes, sir. Anybody get a camera?
This is Olivia Schneider. Olivia, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you die today, where would you go? As part of that public profession of faith, I baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Well, all right.
We've done as the Lord has commanded, yet there's still much room.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick.
Ain't that good?
Amen.
You know, it didn't take very long. But that little girl had to get ready. By the way, may I counsel some of you parents? Maybe your daughter or your son are not ready yet. Don't drag him in there. Baptism is being willing to do what the Bible says. You can teach them. But one of these days, they'll get it. They'll go to heaven, dry clean, but they'll go to heaven. If something happens to them, they'll go to heaven if they get baptized. Amen? So don't push them. They'll see it. They've been around this church long enough, they'll say, hey, what are they doing up there? Hey, I want to do that. Amen? Let's stand and be dismissed. God bless you. You're 19 minutes into the hour. Hey, you know what? You get an emergency. Don't hang into it either. You make sure you tell somebody else about it. And let them pray with you. Let them pray with you. I know there's some emergencies in our church. Some of our
are fine people, their husband or their wife, and not saved. That's an emergency. And we need to pray for them. Amen. Lord, bless this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a great day. And Lord, bring us back tonight at 6. In Jesus' name, amen.